April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey! Hello. The Go Birds Podcast, presented by the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you. This is the second time we have started the podcast. You will not hear the first time. We were recording, and then Jack Fritz just burst into the studio.
Just walked in.
Like, it was like nothing. Like, it was like he owned the place.
It's like, yo, buddy, the number one pod's recording right
now. Oh, no, you didn't.
Only a shot at Jack, because you're part of the two biggest ones. Yeah. speaking of podcasts, so I'm doing the NFL one. I'm doing
a
Sixers one now.
Check it out.
Check your hands.
Look, a lot of people like the Eagles, also like the Sixers.
Like the Sixers. Clever name. Kyle Newbeck.
Clap your hands.
I thought of it. Look, pretty good name, right?
I love you threw in there.
But I wasn't even doing that to promote it. What I was going to say is... No. What I was going to say is, feels good to be home on my real pod.
You know,
I love all the pods. I love doing WIP hits. I love doing all those things. Feels good to be recording.
It's our happy place.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're going to be honest
my
about it.
My safe space.
Yeah, I love it. It makes me happy. Yeah. And I do. Remind me to go to the notes at the end.
Okay, good.
Because I
have a Christmas movie.
I've added a few haymakers lately that have been really grinding my gears, let's say. I'll tease one of them. I have a phrase that so many people say. It's said all the time, and I've always just been like, yeah, sure, okay. I'm done with it.
You're done with it?
I'm done with this phrase. I'm so done with it. The next time someone says it to me, I'm going to be like, no! Stop it.
Well, I'm interested to hear what the phrase is.
Yeah,
I'm guessing it's not inside baseball.
No, I love that phrase. You can go inside baseball.
Behind scenes
all
baseball
day,
or
early
whatever.
Day, as far as I'm concerned. Right?
Did we do the Harry Potter as a Christmas movie thing?
No, we didn't. You texted me about
it. Yes, I did, yeah. I wanted to bring it up was because,
inside, baseball, you're going deep here.
Yeah.
I got a text from Elliot that says, it was of a tweet, and someone said, I don't know why, I can't explain it, but Harry Potter is a Christmas movie. And Elliot said, this is the correct take.
Yeah.
And then we battled.
Yes. So I'm not even really trying to battle with you about it because
it
is a Christmas movie, but it's certainly.
How is it a Christmas movie? Die Hard has
so
much more Christmas.
It is certainly more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard.
It's got Christmas music. It takes place at Christmas.
Again.
It's got Christmas in like every scene practically. It's some form of it.
Christmas movies are like porn. You know it when you see it. Okay? You know it when you see it. But the reason I was bringing it up is because a few days ago, me and Kristen were looking for a movie to watch. And so on the on-demand thing, it had Christmas movies, and each day you get like a different one or whatever. And you know what day number two was?
Let me guess. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Yeah. Underneath a little Christmas gift. Uh-huh. So
I
there
can't
you go.
Wait till Die Hard pops up there and you don't tell
I
me
I guarantee
about
it won't.
Yeah.
There's 25 days. How about this? If Die Hard is
not
one of...
Because
it's not a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas
movie. Let's just move on.
Okay.
It's going to go too long.
Yeah, we're never going to get there.
We did this all last Christmas.
All right. Coming up later, a phrase that I'm done with and is ending. And I might throw a movie thought into. We'll see.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk some birds. as I want to get into Eagles Giants. We're going to get into the OBJ thing, though, if anyone's been listening to the feed. Pretty clear where we stand on the OBJ thing, certainly where you stand on it. But yeah. I want to start with, you know, there's been this week, I feel like it's a really fun topic in my mind because I feel like it's always like, you know, at least last year is always like, who do you blame more? Or who, you know,
yeah.
Who, you know, this or that. Like, this is a fully positive discussion that has been the kind of the talk of the week right now. And I just love it. This whole, who's the most responsible for the success of this team? It's nice to talk positively about things.
Well,
and the funny thing is there are four clear options. Like, the four most important people on the team in Lurie, Howie, Sirianni, and Hurts.
And Hurts, yeah.
I think all four. I could pick any of them. It's such a great discussion. I could make an argument for any of the four, Ellie.
To piggyback off of what you said about how it was so negative. So we're recording this. Today is December 8th. You know, it's the two-year anniversary of something.
Ooh, let me think for a sec. The two-year anniversary, December 8th. Oh, is it Carson getting benched?
Carson getting benched.
Oh,
Carson got benched 2 years ago today.
Wow.
So it's funny to think from where that
for 2 years.
That whole
it feels like 20, Elliot.
That whole next year, right? Like, or really not the whole next year, but like that whole next 6-7 months was like, is it Howie?
Fire Howie. Blame Lurie. Sell the team.
Carson. Yeah. All those things. So, but yeah, now to be at a point where, to what you're saying, like, who's the biggest reason for success this year? You could convince me of any four. Like, I know where my answer would be, but again, like, if someone, you know, wanted to call in, obviously not right now, but maybe on Saturday, and tell me why it's like Nick Sirianni, I could see that too.
You could convince me. And
He's the new one.
I mean, think about it this way. DeCamera said this on the air today. It's such a great point. We've talked a lot about them individually, but the Eagles could finish this year with the executive of the year, the coach of the year, and the MVP.
It's like the 0-1 Sixers.
Like, it was like the 0-1 Sixers, exactly. But I think even in other ways, a little more impressive in that it's just, it's so hard to believe that in, like you said, 2 years ago, if you had said, hey, 2 years from today, where you're going to be talking about Howie Roseman is the executive of the year, Nick Sirianni, who you've never even heard of right now.
You don't even know
who he is.
Yeah.
You've literally never heard the guy's name before as the coach.
Tell me he did anything and I'd believe it.
The quarterback who's taken over for Carson Wentz today, who everyone hated when he was drafted, is going to be the MVP. Like, it's crazy.
Well,
I'm speechless.
What it really shows you is just how quickly things can change.
Sure.
You know, like, and it kind of piggybacks to this too, and like the Eagles' chance to win a Super Bowl this year. I do believe they're set up for success. I do believe like this season in a lot of ways already is a success because they found their quarterback. They found their head coach, like all those things. But it also shows you that like just because things look so amazing right now, in 2 years it doesn't mean that'll be the case. Like, so they have a golden chance this year. And to get back to who gets the biggest amount of biggest piece of the pie chart for the credit, like, do you want me to go first or do you want to go?
Sure, you can go. I mean, we can make the case for all four too.
You just want to go through each four?
Yeah. Well, so
we start top down or
bottom
up? Yeah,
let's start top down.
Okay.
And I think that we could say where our heart, like, coming into this, if I had to choose between the four, I would say Howie Roseman. But okay. I'm guessing you're gonna say Jeffrey Lurie, and then it's like, how do you say Howie over Jeffrey? Because Jeffrey's the one. So it's like there's all that stuff, but
how do you not say Jalen because he's the one on the field?
And how do you not say Nick who's orchestrated, pulling all the strings? So let's go through it. Your answer if you had to choose would be Jeffrey Lurie, correct?
Yeah. So I think I would pick Jeffrey because I think the Eagles' success right now is organizational. Like, I think
which is a point you've made 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a consistent theme of yours.
Like, I think Jeffrey on the top really sets this franchise up for success. And I also think that when you look at, like, why are they successful? I think a lot of it is Howie, obviously. Jeffrey's decision to not fire Howie twice. After Chip got fired, he could have moved on from Howie then.
Totally.
Didn't do it.
And decision to bring him back after
decision
Chip
to bring
on top
him back.
Of that, yeah.
And then he could have fired Howie when they traded Carson, right?
Before they traded Carson.
So I think, like, the decision to not fire Howie, in my opinion, might be the best decision any sports figure has ever made in the history of the city. but
I love that hyperbole. I mean, you're not. I mean, it's
the logic. The logic is
possible.
It brought the Super Bowl,
yeah.
And the Super Bowl is the best
another
thing that ever happened to the city.
No, it's
hard
argument
to imagine another one. You know,
no,
like,
yeah,
like Matt Geiger's not waving his no trade clause.
No, it's not close. No.
Yeah, like,
again, Super Bowl.
Right. So, I think that what Jeffrey does in that building.
Like, you could say maybe the decision to draft Mike Schmidt or something like that. And even then, probably not.
And also, that was a long time ago.
Decision to hire Pat Gillick. Yeah. Even then, you know, I'm with you.
Like, I can't think of a more impactful one, right? And I think that, and you know this because you're down at the NovaCare. And, like, it's hard to describe, and you could probably even do it better because you were, you know, an employee, intern, or whatever.
Sure. I was an employee.
Yeah, employee,
I worked
right.
For the team.
Okay, yeah. So, like, it's the NovaCare, it gets painted sometimes, I think, and they're not saying that it's not true, because all office buildings and office, like, you
there's
know.
There's going to be politics
there's gonna be, yeah, exactly,
and everything in
that's
any
100%.
Office, no doubt.
But, like, I think what Jeffrey does building that environment down there goes, like, under-discussed in a lot of ways. Like, all the things they do, the great people that work there, how friendly people are down there, like, the inviting atmosphere. Like, I just think Jeffrey makes it an easy place to succeed. And, like, Nick Sirianni talked about it earlier this year when they went from Sunday night to Thursday, and he gave the game ball to Jeffrey. Just like, you know, if the players need anything, Jeffrey buys it. Like, they have state, I mean, besides the practice bubble, they have a state of the art. They have a state of the art, like, a lot of everything down there, right? And, like, when we talk about the salary cap.
The decision to cut checks.
To cut checks in terms of, like, James Bradbury's here because Jeffrey was willing to cut an $8 million, like, whatever it was, signing bonus check, right? Like, the reason they're able to do the cap the way they are is because they have an ownership that's not afraid to spend. They have an ownership that does invest in the team, an ownership that will. A lot of, like, I think it was with the Raiders maybe, with the Khalil Mack thing where it was like the Raiders paid him, but he got it in, like, his signing bonus in, like, three different parts. Like, Jeffrey has never really been cheap as an owner. And I think that's when you're talking about the team being 11-1, you have to start with the top, in my opinion. And that doesn't mean that every owner is like that. Like, I'm sure, you know, I can't think of a team. But, like, let's say another team was 10-2.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Minnesota. Maybe their owners aren't as good as Jeffrey. I'm not there every day. But I really feel like this team is where it is at because of what Jeffrey Lurie does.
Yeah, look, I think you could just say, hey, it starts at the top, and that's the end of the discussion, right? And that he didn't.
But I don't think that's the case in all organizations.
No, but I'm saying we're talking specifically about why the Eagles are 11-1, who gets the credit, who gets the who's most responsible, all that. Like, it's pretty easy to say, hey, Lurie's the top of all of it. He gets the most credit. And I wouldn't be able to argue with you on that. And that's why I think this is such an interesting discussion between all these four. But I do think that, and I do think Jeffrey deserves a lot. And you could just say.
Well, can, like, I ask you, like, since you worked there, like, how would you describe the building?
Yeah, I think.
Now, you weren't there for what, it's been a long time.
Yeah, but still, I think. And also, I was there for a couple Chip years, which the building changed, so to speak. Chip kind of took control of the building. So, but even then, you know, it was still everything they needed, everything they wanted. It was whatever Chip wanted happened. I think it's a great point. I think that, you know, when you're at NovaCare, it feels like a very professional place to be, a very well-run place.
Yeah.
Everything works. Everything's top of the line, you know, like, even the food, even the cafeteria. Yeah. Seriously, like,
I'm dead serious. I miss being amazing
job. Yeah. Like, I used to get so excited to go to lunch at work.
Yeah.
You know, it's little stuff, but it's a cool place to work. And I think everyone likes everyone, and there's a real good vibe there and all that. So I would absolutely agree with that. The reason I was thinking Howie coming in, and obviously it's not like a super complicated case to make, is just that, I mean, this guy has put together the best roster in the NFL. He's the guy who had the, and I know, look, Lurie was a part of it, but, you know, ultimately when they drafted Jalen Hurts, Howie's the one who took the brunt of it. Howie's the one who got criticized for it.
He had quarterback factor.
The balls to do that, to make that pick in that spot, to, you know, realize what Hurts was and say, all right, we're going to all the whole thing, to say, all right, he's on a $1 million a year contract. I'm going to build this team around him. Like, this whole thing has been a masterclass in general managing from Howie Roseman. The ability to put this roster together, the ability to manage all these caps, the ability to get them in position to be able to take advantage of it by trading Carson Wentz for what he did, by making the A.J. Brown trade, by having that extra draft pick, having a top five pick next year on top of the 11-1. Like, I just, again, and you know, I mean, anyone who's listened to this pod for longer,
you've always
than
been a Howie
this
guy.
This year,
yeah.
I mean, I freaking crushed the dude.
Yeah.
And
look, somewhat deservedly so.
Look,
you know,
I
think he certainly made mistakes.
But,
yeah.
But the ability to rebound from being where he was, and to make the moves he's made confidently, and to, you know, make a lot of moves that, again, were controversial.
Yeah.
I've been blown away by what Howie Roseman's done.
Well,
I actually think, I don't know. I was going to say it might be more impressive, the rebuild this time than last time, but that's, we all thought that when Chip left, I remember saying when Chip left that he would be the most hated sports figure in Philadelphia history for burning down the roster the way he did.
What's crazy, they still had like Fletcher.
Yeah, and they still had some guys. And look, he drafted Lane Johnson and Ertz. And it ended up, it was better than we thought in the moment. It just felt like because he traded all those guys and got rid of guys and all this stuff.
Well, so.
And then how he took it and rebuilt it, took it to a Super Bowl team. And then now again, after, and granted, these were his fault, you know, that he played a role at least in it bottoming out. But to do it again within 5 years to just remake the franchise, I mean, it is.
Joe Giglio tweeted.
It is so impressive.
Joe Giglio tweeted this out. He'll be the first GM during the salary cap era to win a Super Bowl with a different head coach and a different quarterback within a 6 year span.
We were talking about on the air. I think the only time it's ever happened is the Raiders. Yeah. And that wasn't the salary cap era. The Raiders with Madden and Stabler and then Flores and Plunkett, I think is the only time it's ever happened in the history of football. Like at least me and DeCamera could come up with on the air. That's the only time it's ever happened.
Well, and what's funny too is when you look at, like, after they won the Super Bowl in 2017, we all agreed 2018 and 2019, and then clearly 2020. But 18 and 19 were not fun years, right? Nope. Like, the roster was frustrating. They were injured. They were old.
Yeah, the double doink and the almost getting through the Saints was fun. And
it was basically
about
like six games with Foles, and that was all that was fun.
Yeah, you're
right. And then the end of the Carson
really
of 2019.
Only the last two with Foles was fun. Like, the first two weren't that fun. It was the...
Houston was fun.
It was the Rams in Houston and then the playoffs.
Yes. But, like, he got ripped for that, and he should. But then you look at what's happening in Los Angeles and what they've done.
It's such a great point. Yeah,
like,
crater.
They are, like... beyond screwed moving
and
forward. No picks, no cap
don't
space,
have their first
no
round
quarterback
pick,
like Cooper Kupp's awesome, but he's on IR. like, Aaron Donald might retire. Like, they really, who do they have? Kupp, Jalen Ramsey.
They're so lucky they beat the Bengals.
They're
man.
So lucky.
Think about that. Like, the Bengals came close to winning that game.
But so I think it speaks highly of Howie on two points. One point is he did a better job holding the team somewhat together after the Super Bowl than I can't believe his name's escaping
Les Snead
than Les Snead did, right? The first time after 2017. But even just look now, the Eagles are 11-1, and they might not win the Super Bowl this year, right? So maybe they won't get the Super Bowl like Les Snead did, even though Howie already has one. But even maybe they won't get like this iteration. But the Eagles also have a top five pick next year. They have two first round picks next year.
And they have a great roster.
They could have
even
almost
with
$40 million
dollars
in cap space this offseason.
And like, they also have, I don't know, like a. second or third best quarterback in the NFL at the age of 24.
At the 24, whereas the Rams have a Cook Stafford, and they won the Super Bowl. So, like,
it was all worth it.
It was worth it.
If you're a Rams fan, if you're Les Snead, you're like, I'd do it again.
But what I guess what I'm highlighting is Howie's ability to build this roster while keeping an eye on the future is very impressive. And obviously, you talk about the Saints pick, which is number five right now. It's funny because people that listen to this pod know that when they made the trade, I was hesitant about it, right? Mm-hmm. But I guess I loved it.
Well, I was
you
like
loved
over
it,
the
right?
Moon for
but what's
it.
Funny is, so I guess I must have tweeted that day or whatever, like, the Saints have a chance to be legit bad. Dennis Allen and Jameis are is the worst quarterback head coach combo in the league. Like, that pick could be top 10. And at the time, all these Saints fans like were like, oh, you know, F you idiot, you hack, blah, blah, blah. Like, somebody that's big in Saints Twitter must have retweeted it recently, because my mentions today are just filled with Saints fans being like, oh, I'm sorry. But it's funny because I almost want to respond, I didn't even like the trade that much. But because of the tweet, everyone thinks I was...
phenomenal, yeah. Dude.
Because
that's
of the tweet,
so
everyone thinks that I was like, you know...
prophetic.
Yeah. So, but it was a great trade by Howie, obviously.
Yeah, it really was. And he's done an amazing job. All right, let's get to the other two guys. Because again... I do think I would go Howie and Lurie 1-2 in either order anyway. But again, the crazy thing is I could convince myself to go the other two in any order. We'll get to that in a sec. Download the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. I mean, what are we doing?
Again.
I mean, it's getting embarrassing.
Yeah, I try not to get mad.
I feel like I'm begging.
I try not to get mad on the pod. But like, this is about as mad as I can.
You seem furious.
I'm going to get like when I'm mad at Chris.
For those who can't see him, he looks very angry right
now. So like whenever I'm mad at home, I do the thing where I like just don't talk and I pout a little bit, and Kristen's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. And
I know some people are like that.
And then like two hours later, I'm like, well, actually, you know. So I'm not really going to talk right now.
I like that. He's pouting. I can see it right now.
I'm pouting, yes. Like if you come up to me, you don't have the Parks app in your phone, like, still come say hi, but I'm going
to
be mad.
Yeah, but then he might not talk to you. He might pout.
I might pout.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to be like, wow, Ellie was very mean. And then like two hours later, I'll find you on Twitter and be like, well, what it really was you didn't have the Parks.
Yeah, you made me sad.
Yes.
And it's only because We want you to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, we're having fun. We want you to enjoy watching football every Sunday like we do. Now, granted, we've forgotten to pick a parlay a few times.
I think it's because we're still in the World Cup.
Yeah, so that'll come out tomorrow, and we promise.
There will be a parlay.
There will be a parlay. So
it'd be really funny if we forgot again.
And speaking of, it'd be hilarious. Speaking of the World Cup, speaking of the World Cup, tomorrow in this space, so to speak, we won't beg, we'll tell.
Yes.
Elliot will give you his World Cup thoughts.
For the next round.
On the quarterfinals.
Yes.
8 teams left, what he thinks. But for now, download the Bet Parks app so you can have fun with us. You can do anything and everything with us. Of course, you can bet on all the games on Sunday like we do. You can bet on the World Cup. You can bet on basketball, baseball when it comes back, anything and everything. And of course, you can bet on individual player performances, touchdowns, yes, points scored, all that good stuff. And live in-game betting. The wild swings. It's really a real way to make money.
A real way to make money, and it's a real way to see how worried you should be.
Yeah, if your team's a 15-point underdog, you probably ain't winning a game.
Right, but
yeah.
Like if you open it and it's like the Eagles are down, you know, like whatever, and it's like, well, they're still minus 1,600.
It's like, okay.
So it's like, okay. Like, one actually thinks this is going to
hold. Feel pretty
good about
it. So it's a blast. Download the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at betparks.com. Use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS. New users. Get $750 back in bonus site credit if your first bet is not a winner. You must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Jalen Hurts. Sirianni. Sirianni.
So
you make the Sirianni case, I'll make the Hurts case.
Okay,
I mean,
so
we're both just going to make them together.
Right.
But for the purposes of...
Here's where I'll start this. So I was talking to someone a few days ago, and they asked me, like, why is Sirianni a great head coach, right? And I gave an answer that I was not happy with in retrospect. But what I was trying, I feel like the reason Sirianni is a great coach to me is not the X's and O's, right? I've always been a big leader of men coach. You know that. Everyone that listens to the pod knows that. But like what Nick does at the NovaCare, like I give Jeffrey a lot of credit for it, and Jeffrey allows Nick to do this. But like I really feel what makes Nick special as a head coach is his emphasis on relationships. Like he's always brings up people like at the podium, you know, like his kids up there. But or if he's giving an answer, he'll talk about like his college coach quite a bit. He talks about, but like just outside of that too, like he is really good at making everyone feel like their role is important, and he's also really good at defining roles. Like Quez Watkins, coming into this year, I think like people knew his targets were going to go down. Like it was going to be AJ, Devontae, Dallas. And Nick was honest with Quez about it and told Quez what his role was going to be. And he told Pascal what his role was going to be. And he told Britton Covey. And like, I think he is really good at being honest with players. And I think that's what makes him a special coach. Like, I think that's why the team is so close, because everybody knows exactly what their role is. So there's never any issues where it's like, you know, well, Quez is kind of salty towards AJ because blah, 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 blah. Or like, you know, Jack Stoll feels like Calcaterra is getting more snaps than him. But like everyone knows what the situation is. And I think Nick is really, really good at fostering that environment.
I think Nick is good at a lot of things, man. Like a lot more than I ever expected. He's special, man. And you've said this for a while, way out in front of this.
Yeah, I would text you at
all
the
time. You'd be like... Yeah, Elliot, I would get like random texts from Elliot, like stuff like, I got to get you in a room with Siri. Like stuff like that. He's like, you don't get it.
Until
like,
you don't get it.
You got to see it. You got to be there. He's been saying this forever, like more or less since he was hired, since you were around him. And man, I get it. I get it now. I think to your point, his ability to, I think the single most impressive thing that he has done is his ability to just create this unbelievable culture and chemistry between these guys. And you know, when we first got hired, he's getting killed for like connectivity.
Yeah,
and I want
these
guys
18
to
and 4 since
love
the flower
each other
quote.
And all this. Yeah, but you know what? That's all real and true. And like when he says, like, there's no better motivating factor for a player than not wanting to let the guy next to him down or whatever. Yeah. It's like that's powerful, man.
Well, besides
earmuffs,
Frank,
1, 2, 3. That's powerful shit, man. It is. That's powerful. I feel that when he says that.
Well, besides Frank Reich. That's the ultimate motive.
He did that stuff for Frank.
Yeah.
But, I mean, his ability to create this thing, and again, you know, I mean, anyone who listens to this pod for a long time knows that I have harped on the 2017 culture as maybe the single biggest reason they won the Super Bowl forever and ever and ever and ever. I thought it was the most
In this culture is better.
Yeah, and maybe not better. I'm not going to say it's necessarily better because that I think 2017 was just a weird special group and time and thing. I think what Sirianni, I think he's better at culture setting than Doug.
Well, but I also think Hertz is better at it.
And exactly. I think this is the kind of culture that can last for a long time. I mean, I think 2017, I can't say it was better. 2017 is the best culture I've ever seen in my life.
But let me say this. And like, look, we don't know everything that's happening down there. But think about this. In 2017, Darren Sproles had to be held back from fighting Carson.
That's true, but that was like a and side now, thing.
I'm just saying.
But again,
saying,
like, that, we don't know. Either
the
way,
the culture
like,
was special. I'm
they
not
won
pushing,
the Super Bowl because but, of the culture. We all we got, we all we need.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I'm not ready to say this is better yet. I'm just not. Okay. I'm sorry. There's no way you're going to convince me this is better.
And look,
but I do think this is more sustainable. 2017 ended after 1 year. 2017 was 1 year of magic, and it was never recreated, never close to recreated. And I think because of Carson and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But 2017 was a magic year. This feels like it could be a magic run culture-wise. Like, this feels like Sirianni and Hertz could carry this forward for years. And so that's why it's even more impactful. But it does feel like that level of special. And then on top of that, turns out the guy's a great X's and O's guy.
Well,
he's a great scheme guy and all that stuff. Like, he's done an amazing job. And the whole thing, which the one of the things I love most when he was hired is that he actually is really true about playing to his players, coaching to his players' abilities, putting them in positions to be successful. What do you do great? I'm going to get you to do that. Like, just top to bottom.
He doesn't really have an ego.
Clearly, it seems.
I mean, I'm sure, also, like, look, to get to that point, you have to have some level of ego.
Yeah.
But it's not, again, like, I think Doug at the end, like, his ego got in the way.
I agree.
Like, he wanted to call plays.
He wanted to pick his staff.
Like, oh, no, like, I get that, right? Like, I do get that. But I think Nick, like, again, when Steichen took over play calling, we sat here and I joked about it, but I was like, it's the most selfless thing I've ever seen. And like, there was truth to that. But also, like, I was like, this is a red flag. This is a worry, blah, blah, blah. And we'll see over long term. But like, clearly the decision to allow Shane to call plays, like, it was obviously the right one.
Yeah, it clearly was. And again, I just, you know, this guy's ability to bring people together and to, you know, get people to believe in him and to get grown men to believe in him and all that. It's just blown away.
Yes.
Blown away by Nick, and he is a big part of this. Let's get to Hurts.
He could be coach of the year, too.
He should be.
I think he is at this point. Like, Brian Daboll, I thought, had a good argument for a little bit.
Same with Carroll. All those guys who were talked about have fallen off.
I think Robert Saleh
has to be in the
discussion.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I think it's Nick.
I think it's definitely Nick. And look, Kevin O'Connell hasn't even got mentioned.
I think so. Like, Andy is like,
right?
Maybe, you know, he's always in there.
Yeah, but I think it is Nick Sirianni without a doubt.
If Nick and Jalen both win, they should do the press conference together.
I love that. All right, let's get to Jalen, who, again, if you want to tell me that he's the biggest reason, I won't fight you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, look, Elliot for years has been on this thing saying quarterback is the most important person in an organization.
Yeah,
it's everything.
It's the engine of the thing.
And again, obviously, it's play itself, and I saw you could talk about it, but Elliot put out a tweet this week about actually comparing 2017 Carson to him at this point because Carson got hurt now, so you can really look at those stats. Jalen's been better, and I'm speechless again because I didn't think it.
Well, all right, so I have something to say.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
So
the floor is yours, buddy. I'll just bow out.
I changed my mind. It's Jalen. Jalen's number one.
Look at you in the moment here.
Yeah. Because, okay. I mean, look, it's honestly, it's what you just said. I've always said it, and it's true. An engine is a quarterback is the engine of the car. Like, Jeffrey bought the car, Howie put the car together, Nick drives the car. The engine, none of that stuff matters. Jeffrey could buy the nicest car. Howie could buy the nicest, you know, draft the nicest pieces. Sirianni could be the best car driver in the world. If you don't have the engine, it doesn't matter. And the quarterback's the engine. Because, and honestly, the best way to see that it was Jalen is because when Jeffrey and Howie were in the building and Carson played poorly, they couldn't overcome it.
Yeah.
And last year, when Nick was the head coach and Jalen wasn't as good as he is now, they couldn't overcome that. So it's Jalen.
I mean, again, the roster and all, that's why I say Howie, and Howie drafted Jalen. So there you go.
Well, that's
then you can say Lurie.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the funniest thing where it's like, Nick coaches Jalen.
I do think that again, I think it's razor thin between all of them. I think Nick's fourth, and that's crazy. But
I think Nick is fourth too.
It's crazy because he deserves so much credit. The Jalen thing, I mean, for this kid, I mean, 24 years old to be. And again, I thought he was going to be better. I said it all offseason. I was like, this kid's going to be better. Don't bet against him, all that. Like, he is so much better. It's impossible to believe that what he has jumped from last year this year.
It's the new Josh Allen jump.
It's the new standard in that. And look, I think in, you know, maybe Josh Allen is maybe a little more, has a better arm or whatever. Like, I would take Jalen, if I were starting a team today.
Wow, okay, I'm not here yet.
I would take Jalen Hurts over Josh Allen.
I would not.
And it's for what we just talked about. I think physically he's not quite there arm-wise, but I think he's a better runner. I think they're similar physically. Like, I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'll continue to say it. I'll say it when he's 24, I'll say it when he's 25, I'll say it when he's 26, and then, you know, you start to get to adults, and a lot of people are, but like, I've never seen someone Jalen Hurts' age as composed, as together, as confident, as much of a leader. Like, he is the best I've ever seen at this. Mm-hmm. At being the leader of a franchise at his age, in my life, he's the best I've ever seen. He is perfect. He is perfect. And for that reason alone, the leadership, the getting the guys to believe in him, the culture he's created, the decision-making, the smarts, all that stuff, like, I would take him. Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback in the NFL. Hold on. So Burrow's close.
Ask you, yeah.
It'd be the my top three.
Just for fun, off the top of our head. Not set in stone.
Like, and I feel pretty confident about it. Like, I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm cycling through. Like, I
Mahomes.
Would go Mahomes 1, and then it would be Burrow and Hurts. Like, it'd be 1 and 1, or 2 and
no
2.
Herbert?
A. No. Okay. Herbert's by Allen for me. I would go Allen, then Herbert, probably. But, like, Jalen Hurts is right there with Joe Burrow as the number two quarterback I would choose to start my team with if I could start an NFL team with any player in football.
So, yeah, it's an
that's where I'm at with Jalen Hurts.
It's an interesting debate because, like, I think we know Mahomes is one, like he just is.
Yeah, Mahomes
is
one.
The thing about Burrow is he has torn an ACL. And
it's close.
Can't
I'm not
really
sure. Burrow
move.
Just went to the Super Bowl last
year.
Yeah,
no, I know.
7-5, 8-4 again this year. Just beat Mahomes for the third straight time. Like, I just don't want to discount him.
Agreed.
But they're close. It's between those two for me.
But I think what's interesting is when we talked about Jalen all offseason, or at least I'll speak for myself.
And you know, I was also always a Burrow guy. Like,
you
Burrow,
were, yeah,
I, coming out, I loved him.
But now I feel like it was always like, you know, like you can't have a quarterback that can't throw from the pocket, right? And like Jalen can do that. But I think we're getting to a point where you cannot have a quarterback in the NFL today if he cannot move.
Well, Burrow can run a little bit.
He can run a little bit, but I mean, Jalen's legs, like, I think Herbert has a better arm. I think Jalen is a more dangerous quarterback than Justin Herbert is.
And I would take Jalen over Herbert.
I know.
That's easy.
But that's where I think the Josh Allen thing gets interesting because Allen can move too.
Sure.
But Allen is more reckless too. Like, whenever I watch Allen run, he's like, it's almost like a fullback.
Allen has an elbow issue, too.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about injuries that could be a problem. Like,
right.
He's got an elbow problem right,
right.
now.
Right. So I think that I would probably go Mahomes.
I would go Mahomes, Hurts, Burrow, but, like, I feel a little icky not picking Burrow because he just went to the Super Bowl and he hasn't done anything to lose that. But I would – Hurts probably number two for me. Like, because of all the stuff that I see. And, again, if I were around Burrow every day, he seems like he's a pretty damn good leader and all
that,
too.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So.
I think it's probably those three –
How crazy is that?
I mean, Allen, look, I take
we
that
were
back.
Like, I was
Allen
like,
is,
I was like, I think Jalen Hurts is going to be the 10th best quarterback in the NFL this year. And I was excited about that. I was pumped.
I think I'd still take Allen, but I'll say.
I wouldn't. I definitively wouldn't.
I will say I've, even the last few minutes, come off that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
it's pretty amazing what Hurts has done this year. His ability to take this team to where they're going. It's crazy. It's so crazy. And look. Hurts still has to prove it in the playoffs. He still has to, you've always talked about this. Like, until we see Jalen Hurts go out and win a playoff game.
And things change quickly. If they lose that first playoff game,
totally. If Dallas
comes in
or whatever and beats him and Hurts is bad against the Dallas defense, we're going to be like, crap.
Well, you know what's going to happen? People are going to say, don't pay him.
I'm
just letting you know. If he, and we'll
That's
have that discussion
point.
At that time, but if he has real, like, if he's
There'll
like,
be at least certain
if
people.
He's like Tampa bad versus Dallas in the playoffs and he's 0-2 in the playoffs with like really bad performances each time, like, there will, first of all, the Eagles might decide, although who knows how far down the road they are now with his agent and all that stuff. But like,
I would be shocked if they do not sign him to a contract this offseason.
I think, yes, if he stays healthy and they win a playoff game, I think he's getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, I think either way.
I think if he tears his ACL or
that's different. Forget the healthy part. I agree. I'm saying if he, I think no matter what happens in the playoffs, assuming he stays healthy, I think he gets paid.
I think he has to win a playoff.
Would they make him go into the last year of the deal?
Well, if he's really bad in the playoffs, I mean,
I know,
it changes
like, let's
a
say
lot.
He's the MVP of the league and then he's bad in the playoffs. Would it change that much for them?
It should a little. I don't know.
Probably won't. Like, let's be honest, probably won't.
I don't know, though. Like, look, I talk about the Carson thing and I say that they were able to get out of it.
In that way, yeah.
But they also paid Carson despite things. Like, he was coming off a back injury.
Yeah.
He'd never won a playoff
game. And he had had that ACL injury.
So I do wonder, like, if Jalen...
They paid him without a... Yeah, he'd never won a playoff game.
Right, I do wonder...
Jalen's already proven more practically than Wentz.
Well, I don't know about that.
Look, Jalen might get...
I think he's been better this year than Carson was in 2017. Yeah. But he hasn't...
What did Carson do after 2017 that was good?
No.
Except for, like, four games in 2019.
I guess he's proven a little more. I guess
Carson proved 2017 and wasn't full season, and then 2019.
And Jalen's also been in the playoffs twice.
Yeah,
Carson didn't do that. Yeah, that's true.
Once. Oh, yes, you're counting.
Yeah, he was
this
there
year.
Last year. Yeah,
so it will be twice. Is the point?
It'll. Yes, I think they're gonna make it. This year.
No, I know, but you said he's been in the playoffs twice. It just threw me
right,
off the
yeah,
way
yeah,
you
my
said
bad.
It.
Yeah. But I guess all I'm saying is we have to be honest with ourselves. Like how Jalen plays in the playoffs is a very, very big deal.
Oh, of course.
It's massive.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We can't, but I'm saying as of this moment, this is what we do. We have to say how we feel in the moment. I feel like if I were choosing, I would choose Mahomes, then either Hurts or Burrow.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about paying him.
Oh, well, that too. But again, I think he's getting paid either way. But I get your point. If he's horrible
if
in
the
playoffs.
In the playoffs.
If nothing else, I think it'll be a discussion. I think he'll get paid regardless, but it'll be fascinating if that. And again, I don't think that's going to happen.
Fascinating, certainly one word
for
the conversation.
Yeah, not fat. You know,
if they get
be,
smacked around and we have to sit
fun
here and debate.
It yeah, but like, yeah, it'll yeah be an interesting thing to see yeah if it influences.
It's going to be a very, very big. It'll be the biggest game of his career.
So we have solved that all four people deserve a ton of credit.
Good job by us.
That's really the. All right, before we get out of here, a couple quick things. The OBJ thing, you've really talked about a lot. We're both in on it. Like, I'm not pounding OBJ's door down to sign him.
Right.
But, like, would I be all right with the Eagles signing him? Sure.
Yeah. My argument for it is basically they have to be able to throw the ball in the playoffs. And if AJ goes down, if Devontae goes down, I'd rather go to Odell than than Pascal.
Yeah. And look, I think also.
And Quez is debatable, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this is all dependent upon knowing he's healthy, knowing he can contribute and all that. And I just look at his look last year in this exact same situation. He was on the street, you know, a little earlier in the season, but on the street looking for a spot. And he went to LA and he was a model citizen and he helped him win a Super Bowl. Like, I don't know. I know he's had issues in the past, but this is a really strong locker room. Like, I believe.
This is why it matters.
He just brought in
Jalen.
Sue and Joseph. Yeah. They're like, here, come on in, guys. Like, I just feel like, you know, this, if any locker room can handle bringing in OBJ, it's this one. And it was great last year in Los Angeles. So I get it. I get the, you know, the New York and the Cleveland stuff and all that. But I would take a shot on it. I don't think he's ruining the locker room.
So I get it too. But I'll also say, I think it's like somewhat lazy analysis just to be like, well, he could be a problem, so don't do it. Like, yeah, anyone could be a problem. Like, he hasn't been such a big problem in his career. And if you really want to hold the New York days against him, the New York days were what? 4 years ago
he's
now?
He's older now.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, he grew up a little bit. You know, it's possible, right?
And I would have no problem handing him money in 2023. Now, the amount of money definitely matters.
Of course.
To me. Like, I'm not giving him like $8 million a year.
Sure.
But if he's going to get $3 million a year, like, yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay. There was one other thing we wanted to talk about with the Eagles. What was it? Eagles Giants. Thoughts on the game?
Well, we'll probably talk about that Saturday.
Oh, but yeah. We'll talk about that.
I have something for you.
Okay.
So.
And then I'll get my note thing.
There was some website or someone on Twitter did a thing where they flipped the results.
Oh, yeah. This is interesting.
Of all the games, right? So all the one score games. So the games Eagles won by 8 points. I'm assuming they use 8 points. 8 points or less. What if you flip the result of those games, what would the team's record be? So if they did it and the Niners were the one seed. The Cowboys were in the playoffs. The Chiefs were still in the playoffs. The Bills were still in the playoffs. The Eagles were out the playoffs. The Eagles
so
went from
weird.
11-1 to 6-6.
Yeah.
The Vikings went to 1-11. By the way,
of course they did. Yeah, every single one of their games.
And
been close.
The Giants went to 2-9. So, on one hand, I truly believe in my core that this has been a dominant football team.
Well, what I will say to that real quick, when I think about it just off the top of my head with a lot of one-score games, like it was a few of those were...
Yeah, where blowouts and teams
like
came
Detroit,
back.
Like the Detroit game is a perfect example of that, yes.
Jacksonville,
a lot of these.
Arizona was a legit close one.
And look, that Washington loss they had should have been one that flipped the other way, except for that Casey Tuohill touch on the last play.
Yeah,
that should have been a 5-point loss instead of an 11-point loss. Or
yeah.
It was.
So...
Think about it that way.
On one hand, it's
that.
On one hand, it's definitely
that was a good point.
That was a very good point.
That was
a very good
point to think of that.
And what's funny is I talked about this on the radio yesterday and didn't think about it. But I think that ultimately they are definitely a really good team. So I don't think there's like a lot to take from this. But I do think it's
notable. It's interesting.
It's
I don't take too much away from it, but it is interesting. I do think you want teams to win handily. So like I get it. All right. Eagles-Giants, we'll talk more about it. Suffice to say, and look, we'll talk about it on our picks pod tomorrow. So
and our show on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. You said that already.
I did. Yes.
Adding.
Yes.
All right. Do you want my phrase first or a movie thought? I'll give you two because we have time for two. But then we got to record the other podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, maybe we have time for one. I'll do both. I already teased it. Why not?
Oh yeah.
So I'll leave the phrase for last. Quick movie.
Okay.
Okay. And you know I love like horror movies.
I was literally about to say, is this a horror movie take?
Well, yeah. It's not just horror movies. This is in all movies, but you see it most prominently in horror movies. When you're hiding in a movie, right?
Okay. I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah. People are hiding and they're always like hiding and they're in this one. And this is actually not from horror movie. The reason this came up was actually the movie Equalizer 2, which I just watched. Denzel. Entertaining. Denzel.
Never heard of it.
Never heard like The Equalizer and then the subsequent Equalizer 2?
So
it's a big hit, The Equalizer. That's a pretty big movie.
So
you never heard about it. Not surprised you haven't seen it, but it's like an action movie.
Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks just announced they're doing a show at The Link.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen texted me and was like, should we go? And I'm like, I kid you not, I cannot name one Stevie Nicks song.
Do you know who Stevie Nicks is?
So honestly, in my head, I feel like I'm seeing the person from Aerosmith. I know it's not him, but I'm just saying that's how I envision.
So
it's a girl.
Yeah, I was just about to get there.
I'm just saying.
So have you heard of Fleetwood Mac?
That's what Kristen said, but I don't think I have.
You've never heard
of it? I mean, I'm sure I have. And then she said
like
Landslide.
Top 20 most famous
What's
band
the song? Then she said Landslide.
Been caught in the landslide. No?
You sang that well, but I don't.
Smashing Pumpkins did a version of it, of Landslide, too.
I'm thinking of, what's the one that.
You would recognize some Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, wait. Caught Beneath the Landslide.
That's
the Champagne Supernova.
No, see, that's a different song. That's Oasis.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. It was close, though.
That is a great song.
It is
a great
song.
I love Oasis.
All right, so anyway.
Anyway,
I don't know The Equalizer.
Yes. Long story short,
yeah.
Stevie Nicks was in Fleetwood Mac, super famous band. Anyway, Stevie Nicks, a lot of people love Stevie Nicks.
How many Billy Joel songs do you think I can name?
I mean, I could sing a bunch of Billy Joel songs.
Piano Man?
Sure.
All right, that's it.
That's the only one you know?
Well, isn't there one about New York?
Sing us a song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
The Piano Man.
That's an all-time song.
Yes, there's New York State of Mind.
That's it, yeah.
I mean, he's got a ton. I mean, come on. I mean, We Didn't Start the Fire. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell,
Joe DiMaggio,
Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Tudor Baker, Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
Doesn't sound like the rest of his songs.
That is Billy Joel, yes.
Yeah,
there are a bunch of Billy. You probably know more Billy Joel songs.
I probably recognize a lot more.
Yeah, he's got a lot of famous.
There's only two I can name.
Pressure.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-
It's a great song, too. I love that you keep bringing up great songs, but they're not the right song.
Yeah, well, they're hits.
All right, anyway, back to Equalizer 2.
Okay.
Why is it when people hide in movies and there's, like, you know, gunmen there or whatever, you know, like a horror movie you're hiding? Like, as soon as they think the person leaves, they'll come out of the hiding spot?
Yeah, I know. It's
every time.
Yeah.
I would spend days.
Hours,
until the police or, like, someone that came in and pulled me out.
I 100% agree
with
this. I
would die in that. And they're always like, oh, I guess they're gone. Let me go out.
Yeah.
And the guy got caught right away. It was like, oh, we got you. Gun to your head,
well,
idiot.
Spoiler.
Like, you freaking moron.
Spoiler. But, but no, I 100% agree. Also, I always think I would be so bad at that. Like, I not that I'm like a heavy breather, but I would
Worried. You know me.
Yeah. Well, earmuffs.
I fidget.
Oh,
my
God.
I'm kinetic.
I would be like,
I'd be sitting there like shaking.
God
and
forbid,
be like, why is that moving there?
God forbid, ever been we're in this situation. I can picture us like hiding in the closet and your fucking leg starts to shake. And I'd be like, just take him, yo.
Yeah,
like, just,
you got him. All right. Now, this might make people mad.
Okay.
Because this is a phrase that so many people use.
All right.
Like, this is a very common phrase.
And you're out on it?
Before I used to be like, yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I get the thought behind it. Like, I love Emily. She's my favorite person in the world.
Wow.
I would do anything for her.
Right.
I've always got her back, you know, whatever.
All right, so I'm excited to see where this is going with me.
The next person who says happy wife, happy life to me, I might punch him in the face. Like, enough of the happy wife, happy life phrase.
I don't...
Everyone, and people are going to be mad because I know there are a bunch of people listening who say it. I'm sorry. Don't say it to me.
So here's what I would say.
It's so annoying. Like, yeah, we get it. All right. Yes. You know what? You don't need to say it all the time. You know what? You know what my wife would say? She'd be like, happy both of us. Happy life. How about that?
Yeah.
How about I like to make us as a unit happy. I'm not
it's
just
going
to placate my wife and say, oh, whatever she wants, make her happy. And even if you are, don't say the stupid happy wife, happy life phrase. I'm done with it. I hate it. I've had enough of it. Don't ever say it to me.
Okay, so I think the phrase itself is very like, you know, like on
happy
like,
wife, happy yeah, life. Am like, I right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like happy Friday. Yeah. Happy Friday. I get it's like, yeah, I'm happy too. It's
I get
Friday.
Your point. I do think it's a little like it can be almost like condescending. If that's not the right word, but I feel like people say it in like a oh my wife sucks type of thing.
Yeah, it's like yeah. oh I gotta placate.
Exactly right.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. It's I, like I get, oh I gotta make my wife happy. Yeah. I guess.
I get that right.
Or I'm gonna do this thing I don't want to do because exactly. I'm happy wife, happy life.
But,
no, how about you just be happy with your wife, have a good relationship.
But there's absolutely no denying that, like, the house is a better place when Kristen is happy.
Sure.
That's only, so I see your point that, like.
But hold up. It's also very sexist. Like, the
no,
other
no,
way
that's
around.
Sexist because you're in the same
Kristen,
house with
wouldn't
the person.
Kristen say the same about you?
100%.
Did she say happy husband, happy
100%,
life? 100%,
yes.
So how about we say that? How about women say that about us then, right?
I'm fine with that. So I
okay?
see, so I agree with you about the expression. I think the core of it is
yes, you
about
want your,
your.
Of course, that was why yes, I said it. I was like, yeah. Emily's my favorite person.
Right.
If she is not happy, it kills my soul. Like,
also,
I'm right there.
Also.
Like, I get it. There's nothing. We all know it.
Yeah.
We all know that you
I
want
your
wife to be happy.
I'm in with you on this.
Okay.
Because it's like a very, like, you know, like, did you watch a game on Sunday? And it's like, oh, no.
No,
I had to
go out shopping.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy wife, happy
yes.
life. It's like, enough.
I get your point.
You're, like, shitting on your wife,
yes,
essentially.
100%.
Thank you. That was the heart of what I'm trying to say.
The only thing I'm saying is.
Yes, I want my wife to be happy. So
no,
right
but,
with you.
But not even that. Like, it's just, like, you're saying, like, Kristen, like, there's no question the house is also way worse when I'm in a bad mood.
Exactly. That's
I'm unbearable
my point.
When I'm in a bad
yes,
mood.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate myself
so
when I'm in a bad
but
mood.
But the truth
no
is.
No one wants to be around me.
And it's not even about a wife thing. It's just true that when your partner
yes.
is in a bad mood,
yes.
there's no question it impacts your mood.
Totally. And that is absolutely fair.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is a very, like, you
condescending
know,
almost
yes.
in a way. Yes.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, I'm certainly won't say it around you anymore. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. I'll be like, anyway, so, you know, Kristen's not in a great mood. I'm still enjoying life, but I was still happy.
But I
to...
really wish you were happy.
Yeah,
that'd
exactly.
be so cool.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Good
this
point, buddy.
I felt good about that.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry to everyone who says that because people say it all the freaking time. So, I'm
but
sorry.
Honestly, to the people that say it in the way that you say it, in the way that you like, that you don't like it,
thank you.
We're not sorry to those people.
Yeah. No, because it is condescending
yeah.
and it's rude.
It's rude.
Thank
yeah.
you. All right. That's
but I hope
I
Kristen's in a good mood.
I know, me too. That's all I got.
I'm sure she hopes the same of me.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, yeah, that's all I got, Tom.
Okay. We'll be back tomorrow. Parks Picks Pod. Elliot's World Cup picks.
Yes.
The final eight. That's going to be exciting, so check it out. He's Elliot and Jay.